When we listen to this parable of the Good Samaritan, we might be tempted to prejudge the priest and the Levite, that they're doing it out of malicious reasons, why they didn't stop for this victim. But they might have had reasons that they thought were justified. They might be justified in not stopping and showing mercy to this poor victim. You know, they could probably very easily see that he had been a victim of robbers. You know, had been stripped of his clothes and was beaten until he was half dead. And they probably thought, you know, the robbers could be hanging around here somewhere waiting for some poor sap to stop and try to help this guy, and then they can get a two-for-one deal. Go after the guy who's trying to stop and help him. Another thing that could have crossed their mind is ritual impurity. To touch someone who is bleeding, who has blood, they're bloody, or they've got a cut or a wound of some sort, would make the priest or the Levite ritually unclean. And being in the state of ritual uncleanliness meant that they could not perform the duties of their office. They could not perform the sacred rites that they were responsible for as a priest and as a Levite. So they would have realized that. They would have seen that he was bloody and would have said, well, if I touch him, then when I go to temple, I would have to go through the ritual purification before I could do any of the rites that I am called to do. So they thought that these were good reasons why they weren't going to stop and help this guy. Well, of course, the Samaritan looked at him and he overlooked all of his concerns. He realized that the need of the victim was far stronger than his personal inconvenience with having to deal with him and with the risk of possibly becoming a victim to the robbers as well. He realized that it was more important to show mercy than to worry about his own concerns. And of course, our Lord uses this parable to show us that love of neighbor means showing mercy to our neighbor. Well, we may have people in our lives that we may have reasons that we think are worthwhile not to show them mercy. We may have reasons that we think are worthy of withholding our mercy. There may be those in our lives who have hurt us in the past. They have done things, said things that causes us pain, whether it's physical pain or emotional pain. And whether these actions and these words were done intentionally or unintentionally, they may not be repentant. They may have not come back to us and asked for forgiveness for what they have done. And we may realize, oh, they're going to do it again anyways. So that's a reason why I can withhold my mercy. There may be those who have slighted us, who have done things and said things that caused us to have a real or even just a perceived slight on their part, that they did this intentionally against us. There may be those that we feel we can't trust anymore. We gave them our trust and they abused that trust. And now we feel that they're untrustworthy. Well, regardless of what these reasons are, we think that they're justifiable. That they're justifiable reasons why we withhold our mercy from them. Well, of course, as Christians, we need to be like the Good Samaritan. And we need to be willing to show mercy in the same way that our Lord, with his divine mercy, shows it to us. And of course, our Lord's divine mercy is given to us freely, without reservation. Our Lord wants to give his mercy to everyone, everyone who has ever lived, in the past, in the future, and who's alive now. Our Lord wants to bestow his mercy upon each and every one of us. The only thing that keeps us from that divine mercy is ourselves. If we are unwilling to accept that divine mercy, we will not receive it because we have closed ourselves off to it. We have refused to accept that divine mercy. It's not that our Lord is refusing to give it to us. It's that we refuse to accept it. That is how we need to be willing to give mercy ourselves. We need to love our neighbor, even when we think that they are at their most unlovable. Even when we think that they can't sink any lower, we still need to love our neighbor. We need to forgive those around us, even when they're not repentant. even when they have refused to repent from what they have done. We need to let go of grudges, even when that's the last thing we want to do, and we want to nurture that grudge. We want to hold on to that grudge for everything we have. And most importantly, we need to pray for our neighbor. Ask God to send His mercy upon their hearts, especially at those moments when that's the last thing we want to do, when we don't feel like loving them. We need to pray for that person. Because to love our neighbor is to be unconditionally merciful, to share God's mercy without condition. Now, this doesn't mean that we're going to be a floormat. This doesn't mean that we allow people to walk over us. It doesn't mean that we put ourselves in the position to let people hurt us again. This doesn't mean that we unconditionally trust someone who has shown themselves to be untrustworthy. But we still need to forgive them without condition. When we put conditions on our forgiveness, we are not truly forgiving that person. When we say, "I will forgive him when he does," that's not forgiveness. That's not forgiveness. True forgiveness is unconditional. We need to show mercy as our Lord shows us mercy. And His mercy is unconditional. And if we don't understand that, if we do not understand our Lord's mercy, that means we have not been open to it. And we need to open ourselves to that mercy and ask God to give us His mercy, to fill our hearts with His mercy and love, so that we better understand that divine mercy which He wants to give us, and then can offer that mercy to others, to those who have hurt us, to those who are in need of our mercy. So may that be our prayer this morning, that we may unconditionally be merciful to our neighbor, as our Lord is merciful to us.